A person who examines any corner of the universe, from the giant galaxies in space to the living beings in nature, and from his own body to invisible cells, sees a flawless plan incorporating both order and design. Every spot of the universe overflows with a precise and explicit fact, the fact of creation. The miracle in the honeybee. Many tasks performed by animals and many behaviour patterns displayed by them demand considerable wisdom, knowledge, experience and expertise. Simple observation is enough to understand that the cause of these superior characteristics is not the animal itself. The perfect sense of direction of birds that migrate thousands of kilometres. The architectural marvel of the web constructed by spiders. The excellent cooperation and division of labour in ant colonies, the geometrical wonder of the honeycomb built by bees, and many other examples. God displays numerous signs of His existence by means of these examples. He shows His infinite wisdom and artistry in every living and non-living thing He creates. Many living things, great and small, from birds to reptiles, whales to insects, display amazing behavior. Even man, who considers himself wise, knowledgeable, and conscious, remains impotent in the face of this behavior, being unable to imitate anything similar to them. The honeybee, which we will describe now, is only one example of the living creatures which display awe-inspiring behavior. Bees are small insects with no ability to think. However, they accomplish inconceivable tasks. Each one of these tasks demands specific calculation and planning. It is a great miracle that such wisdom exists even in a single bee. However, what is more incredible is that thousands of bees collaborate in an organized and planned way towards a common goal and carry out their full share of the work flawlessly. The greatest difficulty in organizing people to work together is preparing a work schedule and allocating responsibilities. In a factory, for example, there is a corporate hierarchy in which workers report to foremen, foremen to engineers, engineers to the management team, and the management team to the general manager. The efficient operation of the factory demands much labor and money. Long and short-term plans are made and statistics are gathered. Production is carried out according to the production plans prepared beforehand, and every stage is monitored by quality control. Each of the engineers, managers, and executive managers receive extensive academic and on-the-job training prior to their appointment to their individual positions. However, after all these requirements are completed and the organization is established, only a few hundred employees are brought together to work in harmony. While establishing cooperation among a few hundred intelligent people with their own ideas demands such detailed and costly plans, Tens of thousands of bees, on the other hand, establish perfect organization, which is unattainable by any community of human beings. Unlike people, bees do not receive any training. No sooner is a bee born than it starts to perform its individual task. Factory staff work for the salary they get at the end of each month. A bee, however, has no personal gain from the task it performs. The services of factory personnel, be they workers or an executive manager, are limited to specified working hours, and staff are entitled to holidays. Bees, on the other hand, work throughout their lives without a break for others. There is no doubt that it is God who makes each one of the tens of thousands of bees work without rest in harmony, just like the cogs in a machine. In a verse, God reminds man about the favors he bestows upon man through animals, and that we have subjected them to their use. Of them some do carry them, and some they eat, and they have other profits from them besides, and they get milk to drink. Will they not then be grateful? Surah Yasin, 72-73. An average of 60 to 70,000 bees live in a beehive. Despite this dense population, bees manage to carry out all their work in a planned and orderly fashion. A typical colony of bees consists of worker bees, drones, and the queen. The workers perform virtually all the tasks in the nest. From the moment they hatch, the workers start working, and throughout their lives, they perform various tasks that change in accordance with their developmental process. They spend the first 3 days of their life cleaning the hive. Beehive hygiene is fundamental to the health of the bees and larvae in a colony. Worker bees dispose of all sorts of excess materials in the hive. In the event they encounter an intruder insect they are unable to carry out of the hive, they first kill it and then cover it up in an operation similar to embalming. Here, the really interesting thing is that for this operation, bees use a wonderful material called propolis. Propolis is special because it is an antibacterial material and therefore perfect for embalming. How do bees know that this substance is an ideal substance for embalming, and how can they produce such a material in their own bodies? Propolis is a substance which can only be produced in laboratory conditions and with the use of technology and a certain level of chemical knowledge. It is evident that the bee has neither any knowledge of this subject nor a laboratory in its body. Furthermore, worker bees are also responsible for checking the cells where the queen will lay her eggs, collecting the waste, if any, from the cells after the larvae emerge, and cleaning the food storage cells. In addition, these bees regulate the humidity and temperature inside the hive by fanning with their wings at the entrance of the hive when required. It is worth noting that all these tasks requiring specialization are carried out by worker bees only 3 days old that are responsible for cleaning. Worker bees spend the week following these 3 days by nursing the larvae. As they grow older, some secretion glands in their bodies are activated, which enable them to nurse young larvae. All tasks pertaining to the nursing of the larvae are performed by worker bees 3 to 10 days old. They feed some larvae with royal jelly and some with a honey pollen mixture. These newly born living creatures both know the job they are responsible for and possess the knowledge to perform it in the most professional way. The bee changes tasks as it grows older. By the 10th day of its life, wax secreting glands in a worker bee's abdomen suddenly mature, allowing it to produce wax. From then on, a bee becomes a worker, constructing honeycombs with wax. This interesting process raises many questions. How is it possible that a newly born living thing, and moreover, a creature like the bee, which lacks intelligence and wisdom, exactly knows all the tasks it is responsible for? How does the animal's body suddenly become adapted to nurse larvae by the activation of some secretion glands, when it was just previously programmed to do cleaning? How does a bee, which was only a larva itself 4 or 5 days ago, think all of this up? How does its body suddenly become adapted to secrete wax and turn into a construction worker? Moreover, this construction is based on delicate calculations even human beings fail to make. Indeed, a honeycomb is an architectural miracle beyond the capabilities of man. As is known, bees produce much more honey than they actually need and store it in combs. Everyone knows that combs have a hexagonal structure. Have you ever thought why bees choose a hexagonal structure rather than octagonal or pentagonal? Mathematicians give the answer. The hexagonal structure is the most suitable geometric form for the maximum use of unit area. If honeycomb cells were constructed in another form, then there would be areas left unused. Thus, less honey would be stored, and fewer bees would be able to benefit from it. As long as their depths were the same, triangular or quadrangular cells would hold the same amount of honey as a hexagonal cell. Whilst they have the same volume, the amount of wax required for hexagonal cells is less than the amount of wax required for triangular or quadrangular ones. To sum up, hexagonal cells require minimal amounts of wax in terms of construction, while they store maximal amounts of honey. In other words, the bee uses the most appropriate form possible. As for the construction of the comb, when they start constructing the comb, worker bees hang on to each other in circles and congregate in bunches. By doing this, they provide the 35 degrees centigrade temperature necessary for wax production. Another point that bees consider during the construction of the honeycomb is the inclination of the cells. By raising cells 13 degrees on both sides, they prevent the cells from being parallel to the ground. Thus, honey does not leak out of the mouth of the cell. The most interesting thing about the construction of the honeycomb is that bees generally start the construction of the honeycomb from several places at the upper side of the hive and continue to weave the honeycomb simultaneously in 2 or 3 separate rows downward. They do not complete a cell entirely and proceed with another one. While the side walls of one cell are constructed, this means that the construction of new cells has already started. Let's think about the construction of the honeycomb again. Though they start from different places, the bees, many in number, construct identical hexagons and then weave the honeycomb by combining these together and meeting in the middle. The honeycomb segments, which started simultaneously from different directions, are so perfectly arranged that although there are hundreds of different pieces in its structure, there is not even one piece of a different size to the others. The junction points of the hexagons are assembled so deftly that there is no sign of their being subsequently combined. Meanwhile, each bee subsequently joining the construction team immediately grasps the stage of the construction and thus proceeds with its task. Assume that you had a sheet of paper. If you were asked to draw hexagons starting from the top, bottom, right, and left sides, and make a perfect drawing as to leave no sign of junction when these hexagons join in the middle? Could you accomplish this without the help of certain instruments, like rulers and set squares, and without making long, complex calculations? No one can do such a perfect drawing. Indeed, there is nobody anywhere in the world who could accomplish this task. Also, assume that 3 to 4 people started from different corners and completed such a drawing on the same paper. This is even more impossible. Considering this, it can be better understood what a mind-boggling miracle it is for hundreds of bees to perfectly achieve this operation by acting together. Bees have been performing these delicate operations flawlessly for millions of years. We said a worker bee starts building the honeycomb when it is 10 days old. It carries out this task for 10 days. Then, when it turns 20 days old, it changes responsibilities. This time, it serves as a guard at the entrance to the hive. At this stage, it is responsible for the entire security of the hive. During this stage, another change occurs in its body, and its sting glands begin to produce venom. Poisonous guard bees prevent the uninvited guests from entering the hive by standing watch at the door. Bees can enter the hive only after they are checked by the guard bees. In the event the guard at the entrance leaves its position, it is immediately replaced by another guardian. That is, bees change shifts. Although all bees look alike in outward appearance, any intruder bee entering inside the hive is immediately identified and is either repelled from the hive or killed. So, how do bees know each other so well? In each hive, there is a specific chemical secreted by the queen, which is known to all bees in the hive. All bees in the hive acquire this odor from the queen and smell like her. This odor helps bees of the same colony recognize each other easily. After the spell as a guard, a worker bee serves as a forager, collecting nectar from flowers for the rest of its life, which is 6 weeks. This phase of a bee's life is also full of miracles. Bees usually have to fly long distances and scan large areas to find food. A bee which finds flowers flies back to its hive to let others know where they are. Yet, a problem arises here. How will this bee describe the location of the flowers to the other bees in the hive? Bees use a very interesting method for this purpose: dancing. The bee returning to the hive starts to perform a dance. This dance, repeated many times by the bee, includes all the information about the inclination, direction, distance, and other details of the food source that enable other bees to reach it. This dance is actually a figure eight, constantly repeated by the bee. The bee forms the middle part of the figure eight by wagging its tail and performing zigzags. The angle between the zigzags and the line between the sun and the hive gives the exact direction of the food source. Just as the bee knows how to give information through this interesting method, so other bees know how to interpret this dance. However, knowing only the direction of the food source is not enough. Worker bees also need to know how far they have to travel to collect the ingredients for the honey. So the bee returning from the flower source tells the other bees the distance of the flower pollens by means of certain body movements. It does this by wagging the bottom part of its body and creating air currents. Other bees perceive these currents through their antenna and determine the distance of the food source. For example, in order to describe a distance of 250 meters, it wags the bottom part of its body 5 times in half a minute. This way, the exact location of the source is made clear in detail, both with respect to its distance and its direction. A new problem awaits the bee on those flights, where the round trip to the food source takes a long time. As the bee, who can only describe the food source according to the direction of the sun, goes back to its hive, the sun moves 1 degree every 4 minutes. Eventually, the bee will make an error of 1 degree for each 4 minutes it spends on the way, about the direction of the food source of which it informs the other bees. Astonishingly, the bee does not have such a problem because it bears in mind that the sun moves 1 degree every 4 minutes. It is indeed hard to believe, but research reveals that the bee does make this calculation. The bee manages this through its special eye structure. The bee's eye is made up of hundreds of tiny hexagonal lenses. These lenses help the bee to accurately determine the location of the sun and its angle. The bee determines the direction of the target location with no mistakes by making corrections in the information it gives in the hive as the sun moves forward. No doubt, it is unlikely that the bee can make this calculation by its own intelligence. It is obvious that at every phase of its life, the bee submits to a superior wisdom and power. The bee lives every moment by the inspiration of God, who is the supreme creator. Another remarkable feature of the bee's eye is that it is created in a way to perceive ultraviolet rays. Thus, the light reflected from petals helps the forager bee exactly specify the coordinates of the pollen. So the bee easily sees the flower, as in the case of seeing an airport illuminated by runway lights. When a flower has already been visited, the honeybee can understand that another bee has already consumed the nectar in that flower, and immediately leaves the flower. This way, it saves both time and energy. Well, how does the bee understand, without checking the flower, that the nectar has earlier been consumed? This is made possible because the bees which visited the flower earlier marked it by leaving a drop of liquid on it, containing a special scent. Whenever a new bee visits the same flower, it smells the scent and understands that the flower is of no use, and so goes on directly towards another flower. Thus, bees do not waste time on the same flower. There is another interesting detail about life in the hive. The number of bees in the hive steadily increases. Because the workers always work at the same pace, the combs soon become filled with honey and pollen. For this reason, the queen bee can no longer find available combs to lay her eggs. Also, because the number of bees increases dramatically, the queen's substance no longer suffices for all bees in the hive. The problem is caused by the overpopulation in the hive. So, it can only remain for the queen to leave the hive together with a certain number of bees. The bees suddenly start to get prepared for this event, as if they had taken a common decision. During this preparation period, many changes take place in the hive. First, the queen, who is much slower than all the other bees due to her bulky body, must gain speed. To this end, the queen, who is generally meticulously fed on royal jelly by the worker bees, starts to be fed less than usual prior to departure. That is because the queen has to be light enough to catch up with other bees that leave the hive. The worker bees, on the other hand, stop work a few days before they depart. They spend their time by feeding on honey in honey rooms to store enough energy for the journey. What will happen then to the former hive? It is impossible for the colony to survive without a queen. Bees take the necessary measures for this situation as well. Before leaving the hive, the former queen loses no time in choosing 3 to 4 eggs and starts training them to become queens. When everything is ready for the journey, bees congregate at the entrance of the hive and leave the hive to construct a new one. Here, there are numerous questions to answer. How do bees know that the population in the hive must urgently be decreased? How is a hive with a population of 75,000 bees depopulated without causing any disorder? After the decision to leave is made, what is the criterion adopted in selecting the bees? How is it determined which bees will leave and which will not? No doubt these questions can be added to, but there is only one possible answer to all of them. God regulates the affair from the heaven to the earth. Surat As-Sajda 5. Now let's think about all this information once again. How did bees acquire these amazing characteristics? How did these living things, capable of making calculations even man fails to make, come into existence? How do these animals, without receiving any education, accomplish such inconceivable tasks as soon as they are born? Furthermore, how do they perform their tasks flawlessly in social order? The organization they have is so perfect that it could only have been established by a superior intelligence. So, how could these unconscious living beings have formed such an organization? The only explanation evolutionists can bring forward for this phenomena is that bees accomplish all this by instinct. What is the nature of this instinct, then, that can address thousands of bees at the same time and make them live together perfectly? It is impossible for bees to establish such a system with individual instincts, because what they do must be harmonious and complementary. Otherwise, combs, which they start to construct from different places, could not be joined perfectly in the middle. Bees, who start work from different places, constructing the hive from different corners, and then combining their separate tasks without leaving any gaps, and having all the cells constructed equally in a perfect hexagonal structure, must certainly be receiving instinctive messages from the very same source. Bees, starting work from different places, yet who still attain a common result, must certainly be receiving orders from a single source. In other words, there is a single owner of command, who rules over bees, teaches them what they have to do, and keeps these tiny living creatures under control. This owner of command is God, who possesses eternal wisdom and power. In the Quran, God informs that He inspires bees to perform their tasks. Your Lord inspired the bees. Make hives in the mountains and in the trees and in what they build. Then eat of all the fruits and walk in the ways of your Lord submissively. There comes forth from within it a beverage of many colors, in which there is healing for men. Most surely there is a sign in this for a people who reflect. Surat An-Nahl 68-69. The secret behind the incredible abilities of bees is that they act by God's inspiration. In fact, evolutionists who are aware of this fact also accept that there must be a power far beyond bees. However, as mentioned earlier, they want to explain this achievement away with the concept of instinct, because they are reluctant to acknowledge the real owner of this power they call instinct. They also give a false name to the source of this power, such as nature or Mother Nature. However, no evolutionist has so far been able to specify any place from which this command, called instinct, is given. Neither anywhere in the body of the animal nor in nature has anyone ever encountered a mechanism and a center ruling it. That is because what they call as instinct is nothing but God's inspiration that was mentioned in the above verse. What they call Mother Nature is the general name given to all created entities, stones, trees, rivers, mountains, oceans, all of which are themselves created. It is obvious that these entities, individually or collectively, do not have any power to create either themselves or something else. Evolutionists immediately give a name to signs of creation, which are the greatest invalidators of their theory, and thus seek to cover up even the most miraculous events. This way, they aim to prevent people from investigating and pondering the truth. Eventually, they worship an imaginary idol they call Mother Nature, instead of God, their real creator. And they call the order and inspiration of God instinct. In the Quran, this classical attitude of disbelievers is described as follows. You do not serve besides him, but names which you have named, you and your fathers. God has not sent down any authority for them. Surah Yusuf 40. This program has been compiled from the works of Harun Yahya with the contribution of the Science Research Foundation.